Will be by Jared Whitaker. Jared is also an extension agronomist with the University of Georgia. Jared is located in Statesboro, Georgia, and he's going to talk about a project that we've been doing for a couple of years now in several locations from California all the way to North Carolina or so. Basically looking at irrigation, PGR use, and variety of performance, and essentially trying to figure out the best management practices for varieties given irrigated or dry land situations with respect to PGR use. And when you look at variety performance data, like Guy just talked about, there was, you know, 40 or 50 of the large plot on-farm trials. There's usually numerous small plot OVT trials. So we have a lot of data on how varieties perform across a broad range of environments. But oftentimes what we're lacking, especially given how quickly varieties are introduced today, is how to properly manage a variety. We can talk, you know, we can generally tell folks to put it on a silt loam, or it's better on a clay soil, or it's better dry land versus irrigated, or whatever the case may be. But oftentimes we're not always sure how to properly manage that without a little bit of experience, given how quickly these varieties turn over these days. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Jared and let him talk about some of the data we've collected the last couple of years in this project.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate the opportunity to be here, guys. Guy asked if he had any questions about his talk. I wanted to ask him how many times he thinks he'll say variety in the next 3 months. I think it'd probably be more than a few. But like Darren said, I'm going to talk to you about some information we've tried to develop looking at variety management and how to make varieties perform in a certain way in which, you know, maybe they're different among locations. Maybe we can do different things to these varieties to get better performance out of them. Again, like Darren said, you know, we've got a lot of variety performance data out there. We've got a lot of new varieties as well. Usually we see in the past, we've seen variety performance data over several years before we plant it on the farm. Nowadays, we may see it for 1 year before we're planting it and trying to produce it in growers' fields. So, you know, and when that happens, you know, the first question after which variety do I plant, it's, you know, how do I manage that variety to get, you know, the best performance out of it. On that, basically what we wanted to do was look at the impacts of a couple things on variety performance across a lot of locations. We wanted to see if PGRs could impact yield, see if irrigation impacted yield, and especially look at the interactions that may exist between those. And what I mean by that, does irrigation affect particular varieties differently? Do PGRs affect particular varieties differently, and so forth? As far as the experimental design we used, we had a split plot design. We had in a factorial arrangement of treatments. At each location, we had 5 varieties. We had 2 irrigation treatments, a dry land and an irrigated, and 3 PGR regimes. They varied a little between each location, but typically they were not treated at all, treated once at bloom and then twice with an earlier shot in that aggressive regime. Of the locations that we used for today, we had 7 locations and a total of 10 trials. Some of them were planted in 2012 and 2013. And you can see we've got locations from Arizona, Mississippi, Tennessee, Louisiana, Arizona, Florida, and Georgia. So a good wide range of environments. As I mentioned, you know, when we're looking at variety performance data, not all varieties perform the same way across the country. So what we did is we may have varied varieties between regions. We tried to keep them the same within a region, but we understand that some varieties we needed to look at other places differently than we would in the Southeast, for so forth, you know. As far as the variables that we measured, we looked at, you know, the typical plant growth type things, first fruiting node, total nodes, plant height at a couple times out the year, lint yield, and fiber quality. As far as the data analysis, we looked at it with the prox mix analysis. We basically looked at the effects of irrigation, PGR, and variety on performance. We looked at those effects and those interactions between those. For this analysis, we considered location as a random effect, and we pulled certain locations depending on how we needed to. When we get into the variety effects, we did have to separate the locations by region so that we had the same set. jumping into right into what we've seen, what you're looking at here is the effect of irrigation and plant growth regulator regime over all the locations. So this is pulled over all 10 locations and all the different varieties. Now, if you look on the left, you can see lint yields is affected by irrigation. And as we expect, average over all locations, we saw a statistical increase in yield. If you looked at lint yield effects from irrigation between locations, we did see an interaction from that standpoint. From the standpoint of in not all locations, we saw increases in yield from irrigation. In particular, I think we'll see 4 of those 10 trials had differences in yield, and 6 of those didn't. With regards to where the trials, we saw increases in yield among the trials, the 2 in Arizona, we improved yield statistically. 2 out of the 5 in the Mid-South and in the Southeast, evidently for the past 2 years, we hadn't needed irrigation. I think if you guys in Georgia know, we didn't need any water last year. On the right, you can see the effect of PGR regime on lint yield from the standpoint of none and a standard application and then 2 shots, a more aggressive regime. With regards to lint yield, we didn't see a statistical difference averaged over all locations. However, if you look at it between the locations, we did have variable effects on PGRs as far as how they impacted yield. In 6 of the trials, we saw responses to different PGR regimes, and in those trials, we saw variable results. Based on what we've seen in the past, we know that sometimes PGRs can improve yield, sometimes they may impact it negatively, and that kind of shows that we saw the same thing here. If you look at plant growth, this is just final plant height and total nodes. Again, average over all locations and varieties. You can see that as far as plant height in the blue bar, irrigation improved plant height. I think it was about 7 inches we gained from irrigating cotton across locations. And if you look at the effect of PGRs, you can see that, as we expected, the untreated cotton was tallest. The standard, the one shot, we reduced yield height, and then we continued to reduce height with the aggressive treatment. If you look at total nodes, it's kind of the same trends there as well. If you look at plant height, we saw in PGRs, we did see that it varied among locations. This is just a snapshot of that. And in general, like I said, in most cases, PGRs reduced height. Whether the untreated was taller than both of the other treatments or the actual ranking of those, it was different among locations. In some cases, the standard plant heights were just as tall as the ones that were untreated. In some cases, the aggressive was actually as tall as the untreated, depending on location. When we start talking about how varieties affected their performance, we'll kind of break it up by region. And these are the varieties that we had planted in each region across both years. And you can see which ones we're talking about. We're going to look at the Mid-South data. In this case, they had the same varieties in 2012 and 13, so we've pulled them over years and locations. This is the effect of variety and how it impacts lint yield. And you can see we had a statistical difference in lint yield among the varieties across locations, whereas one variety was statistically higher than the others, and we expect to see that. The guy mentioned it in his talk about looking at a lot of locations. This is just a snapshot, but we did see statistical differences in yield. Again, in the Mid-South, if you look at plant height and main stem nodes among the different varieties, we did see some differences there. With regards to plant height, 499 and Next Gen 1511 were taller than the other 3 that we looked at in this trial. Excuse me. If you look at lint yield, we did have some interactions. And in this case, this is just one of those interactions that we saw that happened in Mississippi in 2012. What you're looking at there is lint yield by varieties. Lint yield of varieties by PGR regimes. Excuse me. And you can see that in four of these varieties, PGR regime did not impact yield. But in this case, in 1944, we saw where lint yields were reduced when we applied the standard and the aggressive PGR regimes compared to not treating it at all. In 2013 in Mississippi, we saw where three of those varieties responded negatively to PGR regimes compared to the other three. In this case, it was Next Gen 1511, Delta Final 912, and Fibromax 1944. Looking at the varieties and the variety performance from the Southwest locations in 2012 and 11, they did have some different varieties, so we'll have to look at it by year within this region. Again, as we expect, we do see some statistical differences in yield among the different varieties. You can see how they sort out between 2012 and 2013. Whereas some varieties perform well in one year and maybe not in the other year, which is, you know, the variability we see among trials. With the, you know, looking at the effects of variety and how it relates to plant height and total nodes, we saw differences in plant height and total nodes among the different varieties in the 2012 trial in Arizona, whereas some varieties were taller than others and some had more main stem nodes than others. And again, we saw the same thing in 2013. Moving to the Southeast data, you can see we had different varieties again in 2012 and 2013, so we'll look at it separately. Again, looking at lint yield, average over PGR regimes in 2012 and 2013, we saw a good bit of difference in yield between the different varieties. In 2012, you're just looking at our plant height and total nodes, and there were differences there with regards to some varieties were taller than others, some produced more nodes than others. Again, in 13, we saw that it's kind of the same thing. You have some varieties that were taller than others, and then as in this case, some that were actually produced more nodes than others. I kind of got through that pretty quick and didn't spend a lot of time, you know, detailing what I was talking about, but as far as, you know, specific differences with varieties, but I did want to show you just kind of the highlights of the things that we did see. You know, we did see, and we know that variety impacts yield significantly. In this case, I think it was the biggest player in the differences in yield we saw amongst these different trials. We did see where PGRs can reduce height. We saw where they impacted plant growth, and in some cases they impacted yield of particular varieties. We saw where irrigation improved yields, which we expect. One thing we didn't see is a lot of interactions between these factors from the standpoint of, you know, these varieties responding differently. And sometimes that happens, and that doesn't mean that some varieties don't respond differently. Another thing that you can use from this from this experiment is that some varieties may be more responsive to growth in different locations. We saw different heights and different responses to PGRs depending on the regions and the different locations. So I think we've got a lot of data to work with. I think this maybe shows us that, you know, sometimes varieties respond differently to different production situations. And it, maybe this is something that we can do in the future. And that's all I got. Anybody got any questions? Yes, sir.
In your heat management, the application in perfect bloom, I know you took a lot of data, but did you take a look at bulb retention or square retention or look at the effects of plant fruit load when you make those applications, or did you just trigger, you know, on a calendar basis or stage of growth?
He asked a question about how we made the PGR applications and maybe if we took any information on that. We kind of use it as a standard application, one being, you know, the standard being one shot at Bloom and the other one being at Pinhead Square and then one at Bloom. Yes.
I guess I'm not real surprised at that 16 ounces at Pinhead Square and that adverse effect. That seems awfully hot.
Yeah, you know, the question was about a pint and what it does as far as yield. In some cases it did, some cases it didn't. It wasn't always, you know, there wasn't a variety interaction, so to speak, where some varieties responded differently, but in some cases it didn't hurt yield, in some cases it did.
I would say a lot of that depends on variety. I think about a 499, for example, and I myself have let it get away from me, not got enough on it early, and it's gotten 6 or 7 feet tall. I mean, in my mind, it seems more similar to what triple nickel used to be, where you had to get on it early and often and stay on top of it to manage your plant height. But you think about the flip side of that, like on a Fibermax 1740, where if you hit it too early with that much, it's probably not going to grow out of it because it doesn't have the horsepower in it. And it's part of the reason for doing this, so we can kind of talk to folks about how to do that, about not getting too aggressive. I know in my mind, a lot of our guys are still in that mentality about, I'm going to put a PGR in early because I'm going across the field for plant bugs or herbicide or whatever, and this stuff's costing me 6 cents an ounce or something, so I can put it in just because I can do it. And in some cases, you'll get away with that. In some cases, you won't. And that was a lot of the impetus for doing this work that we did, really.
Well, thank you, Gary. That's one thing that's really important, too, is that, you know, on some of these things, if you shed fruit,
yep,
and you've got a lot of nitrogen, a lot of growing power,
yep,
it kind of don't matter how much you put out there, you won't stop it.
Yep.
So the fruit retention, that's what I was asking about that, because, you know, fruit retention is the best plant growth regulator. If you keep a heavy fruit load, that plant generally won't take off. But if you shed fruit and that plant goes back vegetative, you know, I've seen cases where 72 ounces,
yeah,
then you slow it down because this plant's vegetative.
And depending on where you're at, it's easy for that to happen. I mean, in our part of the world, we're spraying for plant bugs 7 times a year, and even when we're spraying, we're not killing them all because of resistance or just because of the overwhelming numbers that are there and they just keep migrating in. That's where you can see some of that reduced retention like Wayne is talking about. Or, I mean, everybody's seen shed from cloudy weather. I mean, I know we'll get a week or two of cloudy weather and you'll see a 2 to 4 node gap show up in the middle, and then you're really trying to shut that thing down because it's wanting to take off and run on you.
And then you can look at it from the other way in Georgia, where, you know, we may not need to treat those varieties as heavily, you know, where we may go the other way.
Yep. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.